You're listening to Waters Church Podcast, where faith meets real life. We're one church, many locations, and one mission, to see lives changed by Jesus. No matter where you're listening from, you are a part of Waters Church family. Now, let's dive into today's message from our pastor.
Generational Impact Part 2, and I want to talk to you on the subject of when aging becomes an asset, not an enemy. When aging becomes an asset, not an enemy. If the person next to you looks a little older than you, just turn to them and say, God bless you. Now, if you did not have anyone to say God bless you to, I've got good news for you. The Bible is very pro old age. In fact, let's just get started with this thought. Write it down, top of your notes. Youth is the idol of those without faith. Youth is the idol of those without faith. What is an idol? An idol is an object of worship that takes the place of God in our life. An idol is something that we overvalue at the expense of our commitment to God. And we are a culture that idolizes young people. And I think that's because when you only have this life on which you rely, then holding on to it for as long as possible becomes the main event of your life. Did you know that the old age industry, by the way, you know you're getting older when you start to listen to commercials you used to ignore. How many know what I'm talking about here? Like, you used to ignore the commercial that said, do you suffer with back pain? That commercial used to never apply to me. I find it's applying to me a little bit. Not much. It applies to our other pastors much more than me. Amen. Do you have trouble urinating? Like, this is okay. Now you got my attention. Like, this... Do you frequently get up in the night? I mean, I'm like, okay, I'm paying attention. I used to ignore these commercials. You know that the anti-aging industry is a $56 billion industry in our country. $56 billion is spent every year by Americans to stop looking older. The anti-wrinkle industry, just the creams and the lotions, is a $16 billion dollar industry in our culture. Lots of money to be made promising the fountain of youth, which does not exist. A couple of months ago, I told you about Brian Johnson. This is a guy who is a multi-millionaire from his tech business startup, and he's using his millions in a project called Don't Die. He's 47 years old. He's fighting aging with every ounce of his strength. He outsources all of his medical decisions to a team of doctors. He takes over 100 pills a day. 100 pills a day. Constantly taking blood tests, intense exercise regimes. And Time Magazine says that Johnson thinks eating things like a cookie or getting less than 8 hours of sleep is an act of violence. He spends, to stop aging, $2 million a year. $2 million a year just to stay young. And thus far, according to the machines that he plugs himself into, he's managed to bring his technical age or his real age down from 47 to 41. And I'm thinking 6 years, that's not worth giving up ice cream and cheese pizza. Come on, somebody. I'll have my ice cream and cheese pizza and have my real age. I got a scale the other day. It's one of these scales. Somebody recommended it to me from our church. You step on it with bare feet. You pick up this handle that's tied to it with a wire. And it's supposed to give you your real age. And it said I was actually 1 year older than I am. And so I like to say that that scale is absolutely wrong. It's going back to Amazon. But here's the thing. The idol of youth, this is our culture's love affair. I want to stay young. I want to live forever. You can't live forever. In the words of the great Tom Brady, Father time is undefeated. And you're all going to get older. Everybody right now, you're older right now than when you first walked into our buildings. Congratulations. So you better get used to the fact that there's no stopping it. There's no denying it. But I've got good news for those who are in Christ Jesus. Youth is the idol of those without faith. But old age is a blessing to those with faith. The scriptures clearly paint this picture. Abraham was called to be the father of a great multitude, but he didn't have his first son, his first child, until he was 100 years old. His wife Sarah didn't give birth until age 90. How many of you ladies want some of that Sarah blessing? Maybe the looks, but not the children. Amen, somebody. God uses older people frequently. Isaac was an old man when he had Jacob and Esau. Moses did not step into his divine purpose until the age of 80 years old. I believe Colonel Sanders started KFC when he was 65 years old. We've got to get away from this idea that age is an issue. And I'm saying that as a pastor now that is approaching the great 5-0. Yes, mark it down. This September, Pastor Tim turns 50 years old to the glory of God. Don't send me any gifts. It'll only depress me. Old age in Christ is a blessing. Let me give you some verses. Psalm 16:31. Gray hair is a crown of glory. How many know that gets more and more precious every day of the year? Isaiah 46, even to old age, God says, I'll carry you. Proverbs 20:29, the glory of young men is their strength, but the splendor of old men is their gray hair. In other words, don't dye it, ride it. Job 12:12, wisdom is with the aged. Psalm 92, the people who are planted in the house of the Lord will grow old and bear fruit in old age. The book of Leviticus says this command in the book of Leviticus, it says, rise before the aged and give honor to the face of the old man. I think that's a lost art in our culture. For some reason, I think a lot of it because of the lack of faith amongst those who are growing older. We talked about this last week. There's a desperate attempt to hold on to what you cannot keep. And this psalm, Psalm 71, the main crux of this psalm is an old man facing another challenge. Now, I believe it's written by David, and I want to take us through it real quick to just kind of step on some highlights from the text. He's in trouble. And he says in Psalm 71, Lord, I take refuge in you. Deliver me, rescue me, hear my prayer, be to me a rock of refuge. You've given the command to save me. He says, rescue me from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. You're my hope, you're my trust, and I've been trusting you since my youth. That's what makes me think it's from David, because David was a righteous man when he was a young boy tending his father's sheep. He says, I've been leaning on you from before my birth. Oh, by the way, friends, just, you know, hot take here, might sound political, but it's biblical. Your life did not originate with your conception. Your life originated with the mind of God. Before I formed you in the womb, God says in Jeremiah, I knew you. You understand, God knew you before your parents got together. He had a plan and a purpose for you to be alive to this moment. He knows exactly what he's doing. For anybody in the room who feels like a mistake, I've got a word for you. You are not. You are designed and woven together, fearfully and wonderfully made by Almighty God. You are precious to him, and God has his eye on you and his hand on you. He says, you took me from my mother's womb. I've been praising you my whole life. I've been a portent. This word portent, circle it in your Bibles or in your notes. This word can be translated miracle or a sign or a wonder. And how many know this is actually a word in the Old Testament that can be used as a negative or a positive. And I thought about this, As a Christian, you have to understand something. Your life is a positive to many people, and at the same time is a negative to many, many people. A lot of Christians don't get this, because you come to Christ, you think, okay, I'm good. I'm with God now. All things are going to be well. No, no, no. When you come to Christ, there's going to be a lot of people who are not cool with you coming to Christ. And this is the reality of the life of faith. Jesus said, if they hate me, they're going to hate you. If they persecute me, they're going to persecute you. I've come to bring a sword of division to families. A man's members of his own house will be the enemies of his life. And that was the case with David. David's own brothers did not believe in him. By the way, Jesus's own brothers in John chapter 7 did not believe in him. Mary and his family came to arrest him, Mark chapter 3 says, because they thought he was out of his mind. But at the same time, while some people might hate you, the blessing of the Lord is upon you. And I want to say to anybody who's new to the faith, and you're wrestling with this, because I understand how coming to Christ starts to cause tension in your life with those who don't believe. Can I tell you, it comes with the package of belonging to Jesus. But the good news of God is that it might be bad to some, but it's going to be very good, a tremendous blessing to you and to many, many others. Move in the positive vibes of God. He says, my mouth is filled with your praise. Don't cast me off in the time of old age. Somebody underline old age right there. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. And then look at the context verse 10 gives us. My enemies speak concerning me. And what do they say? God has forsaken him, and there is none to deliver him. And I think about this. This is the key thought today. We talked about the generations last week. The generation coming to church the most is the younger generation. Gen Z is outpacing every other generation in church attendance every single week. That's a good thing. But there is a commonality between older and younger generations in our society right now that I was shocked to learn. The older and the younger generations have this in common. They're both tremendously lonely. Younger generations are reporting 35% of them feel lonely on a regular basis. These are the people 29 and younger. And ironically, the only generation that outpaces them in loneliness is the older generation, those 65 and older. And I think a lot of that has to do with the natural trend of your life, the natural narrative of an average American life, that when you're young, you tend to be alone a little bit more. I think that our smart devices are causing this. I think that constant comparison with other people on social media isolates us. Anybody go to a public space today and you just see everybody just head down on the phone? These things have in many ways just cut us off from real interactions. But then what happens is you find somebody and you produce children and your life is very busy and very flustered and full of, you know, obligations and kids. And then eventually those kids grow up and they start to fly from the nest. And that's how it's supposed to go. And I think this is why the older generation, they get a little bit more isolated as they get older, because the kids are gone and they didn't develop those relationships with other people of their same age that support them in a social structure later on in life. Friends, this is the blessing of a church. This is the blessing of a family of God, because in Christ, we have a new family, not a natural family, a supernatural family, praise the Lord. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are one, united in him, and we need each other. Just turn to your neighbor at every location and say, I need you. And it's a blessing to belong to the church. This psalm is the cry of a man who is old and alone. They're saying there's no one to deliver me. And then he says, verse 13, may my accusers be put to shame, those with scorn and disgrace, may they be covered who seek my hurt. And I thought about this. Here's an old man praying to God for deliverance from some of the same problems that he's had at every stage of his life. Let me say it like this. Old age does not exempt you from problems. Write this down. Old age doesn't exempt God's people from trouble, but it gives you an elevated purpose in it. And what you have here is a key phrase in Psalm 18. Check this out. This just flew off the page. It's been burned into my soul for you today. He says in verse 18, so even to old age, somebody say old age. Even old age and gray hairs, oh God, do not forsake me. And then in your notes, please circle the word until. Don't forsake, don't let me die until I what? I proclaim your might to another generation. Until I proclaim your power to those to come. Can I wake somebody up to the reality that your growing old is not a curse? Your growing old is a call of God. You've got a call of God to look at the younger generation and fill them with faith. That's your life's calling. And I'm here to help. I'm here to inspire you. Because so often our world tells us that when we get to a certain point, we're no longer useful. We're no longer helpful. We should just kind of fade into the background. No, not in Christ. In Christ, you've got a testimony. In fact, if you're in Christ for a long time, you've got a greater testimony. You've been through some battles, more than others have. You've got the scars, you've got the wounds, you've got the t-shirts. After the fight of faith, and can I tell some people, and old is a relative term. Some of you might be 30 years old, you feel old. Some of you might be 50 years old, you feel old. Old is a relative term. Here's the thing. Use your age for people beyond yourself. That's the teaching of Psalm 71. So now you can embrace it. And here's what David is saying in the psalm. He's saying, Lord, I'm in a battle. I'm in a familiar battle. People are after me. You know, I feel bad about David. His predecessor tried to kill him, Saul. Saul tried to kill him with spears, chased him down for 13 years. For 13 years, David was sought by Saul. Saul wanted to kill him. God protected him. And then when David gets to the throne, he makes a terrible mistake with Bathsheba. We know that story. Most of us do. He commits adultery. He conspires with his generals to kill off the husband of the woman that he sleeps with because she got pregnant. And then the Lord says, there's going to be trouble in your house because you did this. And wouldn't you know that his son Absalom, he starts a rebellion right under his nose. And David now has to struggle with the younger generation. And he's got this constant battle in his life. Old age doesn't exempt you from battles. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But what you have is an opportunity to testify to the next generation that if God got you through it, he can get others through it too. You know what G. Campbell Morgan, the great preacher, G. Campbell Morgan said about this text, about Psalm 71. Here, I'll put it on the screen as a quote. He says, there is nothing more pitiful or else more beautiful than old age. In other words, old age can be good or it can be ugly. And here's the difference. It's pitiful when its pessimism cools the passion of youth. Let me unpack that. This is some of the problem with even people who are growing older in the church. You look down at those who are coming up in the church. And hear me, as I'm growing older, I feel the pull here. I feel it. The tendency to look upon young people and say, they're so frustrating. They're so arrogant. They're so full of themselves. Didn't their parents raise them right? What's wrong? I mean, that's the pull as you grow older. And G. Campbell Morgan says, if you're getting to that, you're getting pitiful as an older person. It's just a pitiful way. But then he says this, old age is beautiful when its witness stimulates the visions and inspires the heroism of the young. In other words, you want to grow old well? Believe in the next generation. Inspire them. Put your faith in them. Don't demean them. I know they don't know what they're doing. Guess what? Just rewind the tape in your brain. And notice I said tape. because only you people know what that means. And remind yourself of what you were like at that age. Oh, the thorn in the side that I was to Pastor Geyser in our Norwood location. I annoyed him with youthful exuberance and stupidity to no end. And I thank God that he believed in me and trusted me. And I think there are people here, you could stand up and say the same, that your life was forever changed because one older person didn't put you down, but built you up. Believed in you, entrusted to you what you're doing today. And so I'm here today to inspire those of you getting older, and that's everybody. All right, you're older than when we first started this service, okay? I'm inspiring you today to invest in those beyond you. Four things the next generation needs from you. Ready? Age becomes an asset when we give the next generation time together in God's word and work. They need your time. Young people are not just hungry for church on Sunday. Shared those stats last week. You remember these? How many remember the stats from last week? How many remember every location? Okay, this is the problem because you might not have been here because you come 1.4 times per month. Okay, so the generation that comes to church the most right now, 1.9 times per month, is Gen Z. And it's going to be a terrible fail if they come and there's no older generation to invest in them. That's the problem with those stats. Got it? Now listen, Waters Church, I need you to hear me. Not only does the younger generation have a hunger to come to Sunday morning, they've got a hunger to do far more than that. There is a liar in the world today. You must understand. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's the lion that prowls around and roars. He's the father of lies. He's the enemy of our souls. His name is Satan. And Satan loves, I mean loves, to divide. He loves to create walls where there need to be doors and bridges. This is the work of Satan. In our generation, you can see it for the last few decades. The devil has been building a wall of separation between men and women. Feminism and toxic masculinity. These are secular terms that the church should absolutely consider abhorrent because each of the sexes are created in the image of God to glorify not themselves, but the Father who created them. And we are not male and female in Christ. We are one in Christ Jesus. The second wall is the wall of socioeconomic status. The rich are the problem. The poor are the problem. And the devil comes along and builds this wall of separation. And I need to tell some young people this because you have bought hook, line, and sinker into this. Blame the older generation for your problems. The older generation is not to blame. And if you want to sit around and blame them, be my guest, but you'll get nowhere. And as an employer myself, I know you got that spirit. You got that chip on your shoulder. You ain't getting a job here. Blamers don't get anywhere. Learn how to work, learn how to put your best foot forward, and God will bless you, his hand will be upon you, and no man or generation can stand against the purposes of God that he has planned for you, young people. But this wall of separation between the rich and the poor, the wall of separation that I want to talk to you today about is between the old and the young, the boomers and the zoomers, because this one's big right now. And it's even trickling into the church. And I want to tear this wall down at Waters Church because here's what I did. Special project, because I have a couple of, I have a couple of secret agents in our young adult ministry. They're my children. And they both are in leadership in our young adult ministry. And so I sent both of my oldest children a text and I said, I want you to ask the young adults to anonymously respond to this question for this Sunday. What is the one thing you wish the older generation would do in order to help you grow in faith? Give me the feedback. So Waters Church, this is from people that you might be sitting with right now at all of our locations. Here was the answers. Number one, make an active effort to mentor the younger generation. I know a lot of young adults with questions who are in need of discipleship and mentoring. You make the effort. Here's another one. Show new believers how to build a real relationship with Christ. This one. I wish the older generation would share the importance of reading the Bible for oneself and not basing their faith on hearing from other people, devotionals, podcasts, or social media. It can help the younger generation understand how the word truly holds power. That's a good one. This one, create more opportunities to serve in the community and create a ministry within the church for one-on-one mentoring. This one, teach me how to show Jesus to others in my daily life. Another one, I think one thing that would really help us is if the older generation was more intentional about mentoring us, but also took the time to actually listen to us. Advice is helpful, but it means more when it comes from someone who understands what we're going through. And then this one, provide love and support, not rejection and slander. So, older generation of Waters Church, the ball is now officially in your court. Please do not let the enemy come in and build a wall of separation between you and those who are young. They want you involved in their faith. Isn't that good? You should have clapped for that. That was a clapping moment right there. Still tepid about it, aren't you? And I think I know why, because some of you say, but I don't know God's word enough. Get to know God's word. How about that? How about you get to know God's word, not just so that you can get through another battle that you're going through, but so that you can bless another generation behind you. Like this is the problem with 21st century Christianity. We need to nuclear bomb this philosophy out of modern Christianity. That your faith is about you finishing well. That's basically American Christianity today is about my challenges, my battles, my story, my world, my issues, my struggle. Like, okay, I get it. And God is all about that. And this psalm is all about a man who is struggling with his own personal challenges. But can you start to wide angle your lens and say, maybe, just maybe, God is bringing me through this challenge so that I can have a testimony and declare God's praise to someone who's going to come through the challenge after me. Maybe, I mean, just maybe, my faith is not all about me. You've got a story to tell. God, do not forsake me, the psalmist says, until I declare, I open my mouth and I tell the next generation about how good you've been to me. So get to know God's word. I want you to look at Psalm 71 verse 1 and verse 3, all the way to verse 3. Take a look at it here on the screen and just notice something that is basically the exact same phrase from Psalm 31. Psalm 71, in you I take refuge, in you I take refuge, let me never be put to shame. And basically the first three verses of Psalm 71 are a carbon copy of Psalm 31. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? He knew the word. They didn't have Bibles that they could carry around in the ancient world. They had scrolls that were housed in sacred spaces. This is a man who put God's word in his heart. And Christians, listen to me. It's so important that you get God's word in your heart. The scripture says that you might not sin against God. But how about this? Get God's word in your heart so that you can share it with somebody else. So that when you encounter the child of God who is going through it and feels like they're too far gone, you can quote the scriptures to them. Don't give up. The scripture says, that he who began a good work in you is faithful to bring it to completion unto the day of Christ Jesus. When somebody gets their eyes off of Jesus, you can say, hey, look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right-hand side of God the Father. Consider him while you endure the hostility from sinners around you. What did I just do? I just quoted from Hebrews chapter 12. In other words, the word of God is hidden in me, not just for me. Got it? That's what he's saying. Verse 18, let me not be forsaken until I, and if you guys know that, please underline proclaim. In other words, open your mouth. Share it. Now, the oldest and the youngest generations are the loneliest among us, so I thought about this, and I'm going to challenge you guys today. The most spiritual thing older and younger generations could do today is sign up for Life Group at Waters Church. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we had several generations in one life group? Like, I know we all want to be with our own, but that might not be as helpful as it could be. Like, let's not do that maybe as much as we should. Let's intergenerational our life groups. Because I think that the younger people need to hear about the testimony of the older people. And I think that the older people need to start learning how to come out of their shells and start testifying to the younger people. This is good preaching. And I know I'm hitting some people right between the eyes because you just think, I'm not. They're asking for this. Don't let the devil build a wall of separation. Here's number two. Age becomes an asset when we give the next generation testimony of God's activity in our lives. Write that down. Age becomes an asset when we give the next generation testimony of God's activity in our lives. So we open our mouth and we share what God has done. We tell them, hey, I've been there. I know what it's like to live paycheck to paycheck. I know what it's like to be drowning in debt. I know what it's like to feel like you had a close relationship with someone and they stabbed you in the back and they betrayed you. I've got a story about that. And one of my greatest joys in this church is to have a Zoom call with our location pastors who are much younger than me in ministry once a month. And I just kind of talk about their problems from my perspective. And I've learned something about this. And this is so true. Okay? The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation that has seized you except what is common to man. Somebody say it's common. In other words, there's no trouble that you will experience that other people haven't experienced. Don't you understand the enemy's tactic is to tell you that you're the only one? You're the only one that goes through that. And when I was young in ministry and people would leave our church and they would say all kinds of nasty things about the decisions that I was making, do you know what helped me the most? Having some older mentors in ministry tell me that it happened to them as well. And I wasn't the only one. And now I find myself telling the next generation of young pastors in our church, and they tell me their problems. And I always say, I've been there. That's what happens. Yes, your marriage will be challenged. Yes, this will happen. Your kids will have this interaction. Sure. And I see it empowers them to know they're not alone. How many young people today, they need to know that what they're going through is something that God got you through. So he says in verse 14, I will hope and I will continually praise you more and more. In other words, I'm going to talk more about how good you are. The older you get, the more you should praise. Amen, somebody. Praise is not the activity of the young. Praise should be the activity of the aged. You've been through more battles. You've had more setbacks. You've seen God carry you through season after season, and you need to sit down and write down the ways in which God brought you through so that your mouth gets louder and louder in the praise of Jesus Christ. He says in verse 15, my mouth will tell of your righteous acts and of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. I've got a whole record of things. I've forgotten a lot of things that God has done in my life. Some of you, that's the story for you. You've forgotten what God got you through. This is why I say you should journal. I've got a journal, and I think I've told you about this. My wife stumbled upon it. She was laughing at all the things I was struggling with back from when I was in college. And I look at it, I'm like, yeah, it was stupid, but I was struggling. That was a real problem for me back then. It's not a real problem for me now. But it reminds me of how God led me and helped me through those challenges. And in some ways, my former self can encourage my older self, because if God got me through that, he can get me through whatever I'm going through now. And then he says in verse 16, don't miss this. He says, I will remind them of the mighty deeds of your righteousness. How many knows? A lot of preaching is teaching, but a lot of preaching is just reminding. Because we forget. In fact, Jesus was walking with the disciples, and on several occasions, he said, do I need to tell you this again? How many times do I need to tell you? Because we don't get it. Anybody like me? You're thick. And it takes a couple of times before it finally gets through the skull and you finally realize, oh, and the light goes on. That's why continuance in the kingdom of God, in the meeting together, in the gathering of the church is so important. Number three, the next generation gets treasure temporarily entrusted to us. This is what they need. Now, next week I am imploring the 1.4ers, 1.4 times to church per month, to surrender as much of their money to the 1.9ers. Because the good news is that the young generation loves coming to church. The bad news is they have no money. The older people do. So I'm asking the older generation to surrender your money next week. That's what I'm asking you to do. And bring your best offering, so that we can build out our Waters Academy, so that we can invest in those beyond us, so that we can say, look, there are people beyond my faith that need the faith. There's a scripture Jesus talks about with a man who is obsessing about his father's inheritance. And he says to Jesus, tell my brother to share the inheritance. And Jesus says, watch out for greed. And then he tells this parable in Luke 12. He says, there's a parable of a rich man and his land produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, look at this. What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have plenty of goods laid up for many years. Eat, relax, drink, marry, be merry. This is the modern agenda of retirement for Americans. I mean, that's just lifted off the page and slapped on retirement portfolio planning. Make sure you have enough. Make sure you have enough. Make sure you have enough. Hey, we have a scripture. Our God shall supply all our needs according to his riches in glory. And this guy would be a model for investment analysts across America. But what does God say about him in verse 20? God said, you fool, this night your soul shall be required of you. And the things that you have prepared for yourself, whose will they be? So is the one who stores up treasure for himself is not rich toward God. Now, there is nothing wrong with planning for retirement. I am planning myself. But we have to balance this out with investing beyond ourselves. And some of you, and I want to say this pastorally, have unbelieving children. And you plan to set them up with far more money than they should ever have handed to them. Because they will take it and they will spend it on the world and they will destroy themselves. Now, a rich man, scripture says, a generous man, a righteous man provides for his children's children. But you've got to make a discernible decision about how much you're going to entrust to pagan sons and daughters. Don't set them up for a life of not needing to lean on Christ. Don't do it. The Bible talks about David setting Solomon up. 1 Chronicles chapter 22. Solomon was going to build the temple. One generation was the given generation. The next generation was the building generation. In many ways, Waters Church, North Attleboro, is the result of the giving of Waters Church, Norwood. And then Waters Church, Woonsocket, and Apollo Beach and South Coast and Greenville, you folks are the result of the giving of Waters Church, North Attleboro. And I don't think you should stop there. Amen, somebody. I think that those locations have to think about, we've got to give beyond ourselves. And it's natural that there's going to be a time where you receive, children receive from their parents, but then they start to give and they become a channel, not a reservoir of God's blessings. So come next week with the very best that you can. The very best. For what? For the next generation. Number four and finally, age becomes an asset when we give the next generation trust in the eternal hope of Jesus. That the best thing that the older members of our community can do for the younger members of our community is die well. Is die well. Notice what he says here in verse 20. You have made me see many troubles. How many of you? That's your testimony right there. And he's not fooling around here. He says, you God, you have made me see many troubles and calamities. And notice this phrase, and you will revive me again. From where? From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up again. Do you know what he's saying here? I have trust beyond the grave. I'm not afraid of getting older. I'm not bemoaning my age. I'm closer to Jesus. I'm not afraid of dying. That's what really opened my eyes during the COVID nonsense. I don't even call it a pandemic anymore. I call it the nonsense. How many Christians or professing Christians were so co-opted by fear? And I was like, where's the church? Where's the church that knows there's hope beyond the grave? Where's the church that knows that if Jesus rose, we will rise? That we are buried with him in baptism already. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, he says, I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who died for me and rose again for me. And if he lives, I'll live again. This is the greatest gift you can give to the next generation. That maybe, and I'm thinking David's probably thinking, I might lose this battle. This might be the end. There's going to be something that gets you. There is. Bad news, fact check, everybody dies. Something's going to get you. Let it get you with a smile on your face, because you know it's not a dead end. It's a doorway right into the presence of your Father and your Creator God. And I'll tell you something, the older generation, this is your testimony to the younger generation. Scripture says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a what? Living hope through the resurrection of Jesus. I live with hope right until the end, because I've got an inheritance that's in heaven ready for me. Sermon in a sentence, write it down. Age becomes an asset when it's spent declaring God's might, displaying God's faithfulness, and investing in God's children for eternal life. You're not giving to me next week. I'm making no extra money depending on how you come with a gift next week. This is for our ambitions beyond ourselves. I've got a vision for Waters University. I've got people right now reaching out to universities to bring a Christian university branch right here to North Attleboro. We want to get the ball rolling. I got a vision for stadium seating in this facility in North Attleboro because we're on TV. We want to look better. I got a vision for beyond the churches that we have now. And when we give, the funding for the vision happens. Come ready to give. But some of you, today is a day to be ready to be with the Lord. And we've got a baptism opportunity for anybody right now who wants to say yes to Jesus publicly. But before we do that, I want to lead you to Jesus in this moment. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Because some of you, this is what you need right now in your life. You need Jesus. You need forgiveness for your sins. You need hope beyond the grave. You need to know that if you're dying today, that God's going to take you by the hand and bring you to heaven. But listen to me. The older generation's faith can't save you. It can inspire you. It can teach you, but it cannot save you. You have to have faith for you. So I want to give you a chance to do that right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed, if you know you need Jesus, would you say a simple prayer to him after me? Say, Heavenly Father, I repent of my sins and I ask you to forgive me. Today I believe Jesus Christ died and rose again. And I declare with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to Waters Church Podcast. To learn more, connect with us, or to visit a campus near you, head over to waterschurch.org. We can't wait to see what God will do in your life this week. And join us again next week for more life-changing messages from Waters Church.